Yep.
Okay. All right. And my guest today is Michael W. Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Michael, how are you?
I'm nifty. I'm not fully awake yet. I've been up for a half hour, like 40 minutes. I emailed you when I got up because I get up in the afternoon, and you said, I said I can do an interview within an hour because we'd planned this a few days ago. I said I'd call you, I'd let you know when I got up, and you wrote back and said, can we do it in a half hour? And I didn't know it was imperative, like that there was wiggle room of negotiation there. And I'm like, okay. I wrote back, okay. And then like hurried to get up. And you didn't do anything wrong. I'm just saying, like, I do everything I do is a teaching hospital. So like clarity of communication is important, especially right. when things are on the fly and you're planning them for within the next hour. Hey, if you'd written back, can we do it in a half hour? If not, an hour is fine. I would have been more awake and less pressed to get up and do this. But yeah, and I was too tired to like write back and say, no, I want to do it in an hour. So I guess the teaching hospital moment is just try to, in email, this is important with every communication, try to be as precise as possible, give times and dates, give times with time zones, and give people options if there are options, because otherwise, you know, people don't necessarily have time to email back and forth. Like if you're on the phone or even what's it called? You young people do texting, even texting, you'd be able to hammer it out more. But, you know, I was just like, all right, I'll do it in a half hour. So the answer to your question is I'm sleepy and not quite awake, but my mouth is engaged. So let's do an interview.
Well, hey, like I said, what better way to wake up? And like you guys always say on the Freedom Fiends, thank you for your service,
thank
I guess.
Thank you for your service. Yeah, and if anybody listening is like, you know, is hearing this for the first time, and they're like, God, that Michael Dean sounds like a dick. The first thing out of his mouth when this guy's cool enough to interview him is telling you, nah, 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 nah. But Mike and I have a relationship, and I've done a lot of teaching with him of helping him get his podcast up to snuff. The first episode he ever did sounded horrible, and I helped him with equipment tips and what to buy and then setting it up and how to record. And so he's kind of my student in a way. So, you know, we have a relationship where I can do that, I think. So.
Oh, definitely, man. I appreciate it. And that was one of my questions I had, like, how many people have you helped? I know you were on the Greening Out podcast the other day, and you helped them, and you helped me, and you helped Nick Hazelton, the Anyak. Are there any others that we don't know about that have a podcast, you know, regularly?
Well, every Freedom Fiend co-host I've helped with audio tips, and that's about 15 people right now. Yeah, I've definitely helped more people. I'd be, like I said, I'm waking up. I'd be hard pressed to name them all. And one is a libertarian rock star who anybody in Liberty knows the guy's name. And, we actually ended up having a disagreement over what he owed me, and he forgot like hiring me, and I'm not going to say who it is, but, look for a guy who does a video cast that suddenly has much better sound and a few different microphones in his video casts than he used to have from a remote location outside America.
Yeah, that's the next thing. It's like we're on the same page. I wanted you to go over, I know you got two new intros on the Freedom Fiends. You want to kind of plug those or practice those with us? Give us those two intros, or is it too early for you for that?
It's too early, and I'll do them. How's that?
Okay.
It's too early because I want to practice. You know, if I'm getting up on the weekend and I don't get enough sleep, I got enough sleep last night. I got 7 hours. I'm just stupid. I am stupid for the first hour or two I wake up generally. So this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Mike? Is it working? Can you feel it?
It's working. Yeah, it's got an effect. I feel it. Yeah.
And this isn't the Freedom Fiends, but and it's not radio, but it's a good show. I've watched your show grow and I dig it, man.
Yeah, thanks. And yep. Like I said, thanks for your service again. You've been really good. Before I talked to you, my audio quality was pretty bad. And it's actually kind of funny, the way I got in touch with you was on Reddit. I posted a thread there asking like, what kind of guests would people like to see if I did this podcast? And somebody messaged me and said, hey, talk to Michael Dean and he'll help you out with your audio. And at first I kind of thought it was just you, like, trying to drum up like support for yourself. But then I was like, nah, it's just Michael Dean's just a good guy that other people know about too. And luckily this third party, like his screen name's like Orange Peel, which I don't know what that means, but he kind of put me in touch with you and then it went from there. So I'm glad that I posted that thread.
Yeah.
Like you said, the first podcast was terrible audio quality and I had Lou Rockwell on, which is kind of a little embarrassing, but
I actually did a, I'd been meaning to do a show. I've been meaning to do a video for quite some time on everything I knew about podcasting. I actually ended up doing two videos. And the second one, one of the things in it is turn off your heater or air conditioner before the show and heat or cool your house before the show. And my heater just went off. When you start talking again, I'm going to go turn it off. But it is -2 where I am right now. And it was -20 last night.
yeah, you're up in what? Wyoming. You're in Wyoming. Yeah, I know. I saw on TV that in Colorado went from like 61 to 12 in 24 hours. That was a temperature range. That's pretty insane.
That is insane. Yeah, it was it was not even 61 here yesterday. But yeah, that is crazy. The other thing that I learned, one of the things I learned from you that I put in my episode in my how to the Freedom Fiends Guide to Podcasting was. Don't book your first guest until you've actually done a test episode with a friend, and don't book a, you know, rock star in whatever field you operate in for your first guest. And then you also helped me, you went through the video, you and a bunch of other people, and gave me notes, and your notes were incredibly detailed, man. It was awesome. It was like, it was line for line.
I don't know what got into me that day. Like I just woke up and I was like, you emailed me and. At first I was like, man, this is going to take a while, but I was like, you know what? Michael Dean's like the man. He helped me out so much. I was like, I'm really going to like put full effort into this. And I went like second for second and I was like, man, this, I'm going to make this video a lot better. Yeah. And hopefully I helped you out, but like
you did.
Once I get into something, I really just like dive in. And I guess luckily for us, I followed it through the whole way and made it to the end. So,
yeah, I did not use every note from you or from any of the 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 people who gave me notes. But I got to say, yours were the most detailed and came back the quickest. I mean, within 8 hours, you know, I had like, I don't know, 70 notes for you. And they were all like, you know, minute 42, second 26 to second 29. I mean, it was like that precise. Yeah.
I wanted to make it better. And, you know, I wanted to return the favor for the stuff you did for me. I mean, I would do that for somebody else, you know, if like Davi or somebody emailed me, I would help them out too, but it's cool. Good to help out, you know, like, we're in this together, I think, fighting for freedom. So,
yep.
So, let's see. You got the Anarchy Gumbo podcast and the Freedom Fiends. Can you just go into detail for like listeners who haven't heard you before? Like what's the difference between the two and tell us more about the Freedom Fiends. Cause it's pretty incredible what you guys have been able to do. And LRN radio. Yeah, that's it.
GCN. And well, or let me start from the beginning. So yeah. I started podcasting in 2006 when not a lot of people were podcasting. My wife and I did a kind of like marriage advice couples sex cast. And it was like I heard about podcasting, you know, it'd been around for, I don't know, maybe a year. But, it you know, there was no iPod. There was no iTunes. Most people weren't even on the Internet. I mean, you know, everyone's on the Internet now. That wasn't true in 2006. And, you know, I've been interested in communicating with the world for a long time. You know, I write books for a part of my living, you know, nonfiction, how to tech stuff mostly. But I've always wanted to communicate with the world. I grew up in this tiny little town in upstate New York and, it was really boring. And, you know, I got like bullied for being smart. I got bullied the first day of kindergarten for being able to read. I was always interested in radio. I got into ham radio when I was a kid. I built little FM radio transmitters, you know, that transmit like 100 feet when I was a kid. I built one into the handset of a microphone, an old telephone. Like I was trying to like make a cell phone when I, you know, before like 20, 15 years before they existed.
Yeah.
And so I've always been into that kind of communication, and I've always been a talker. Like, you know, when I was 7, I wouldn't shut up. And when I was, you know, 8, I got up at the county fair and like sang in front of a bunch of strangers and won a board game in a contest. And I've never been shy about speaking to the world, like whether I had anything to say or not. But fortunately, I didn't get on radio until I had something to say. And that took into my 40s. So I started doing a podcast in 2006. I did that one with my wife. Then I did another one on my own called, Radio Free Nestlandia. And those are all like gone, and like you can't even find the episodes really. I mean, some might be on BitTorrent or something. But then I started doing the Freedom Fiends, you know, like 5 years after I became libertarian, I started doing the Freedom Fiends with Nima Vidotti, who lived in my town at the time. He now lives in Texas. But... And he was like the local, he was on the local ABC news channel, like, you know, on the nightly news in Wyoming, in the whole state. He was one of the news guys. And so he was really comfortable in front of a microphone, but he didn't like what he was doing because he was basically being a mouthpiece for the state. And he finally quit that job and became a pizza delivery guy and then a cable TV installer instead of, you know, doing what he went to college for, which was journalism, being on TV. So we did that show as a podcast. We started April Fool's Day 2011, and at first we did it once a week, then quickly went to twice a week, and then went to 3 times a week. And the whole time Nima was involved, we did it 3 times a week tops. And after about a year, our friend Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live, which is the most popular radio show, liberty based straight up voluntarist ANCAP whatever show on radio. They're on 160 stations. They've been around 10 years. It's kind of interesting. That guy, Mark Stevens, the guy who gives legal advice, who's not a lawyer on LRN, Ian's Liberty Radio Network, on his bio for Libertopia, which starts tomorrow, it says he is the only radio host on the air dedicated to bringing about a voluntary society. There are like two or three lies in that statement. And it's kind of like the civilian equivalent of stolen valor. You know, like when people in the military get really upset, and it's a crime when somebody claims they were in the military and they weren't, and they do it to get perks and respect and all that stuff. But right. He's claiming something that's not true. He's not on radio. And, you know, even if he is on like some pirate stations here and there, he's not the only one. And he's not on any commercial radio. The Freedom Fiends are on 34 commercial radio stations now. And Free Talk Live are on 160 or 165 stations. So that's kind of bizarre to me. But the Freedom Fiends, with the help of Ian Freeman, who's a great guy, he put us on his LRN, which is Liberty Radio Network, which is a streaming only. It's not radio. I guess there are some like pirate stations that rebroadcast it. But... it's really cool because a lot of people do internet streaming. Anybody can do it. I do it. I have a 24/7 streaming feed of rotating random Freedom Fiends episodes of every episode.
You're cutting out there.
Okay. How much of that do I need to do over? Are you there?
Yeah. You just cut out for like 15 seconds there.
Okay.
You were talking about Free Talk Live. Or I don't know.
What about whatever them? Where do I start again from? Tell me.
You were just saying like how, I don't even know now. It's just like,
well, started. I'm recording from my end, but, I don't know, man. Do you want to stop the recording? What do you want to do here?
Yeah, we can stop it and I'll listen.
Stop it. Okay. So Ian Freeman, who's a total pioneer in Liberty Radio, because every show on radio that's political on mainstream radio until Ian came along was like left wing or right wing. There was no straight up real libertarian. I'd have to check with Ian on that. Like Harry Brown from the Libertarian Party might have been on radio, but, you know, 10 or 12 years ago, but not widely syndicated. But Ian really was the first one to do it. So, but Ian also runs the Liberty Radio Network, which is a streaming only feed, and a lot of people do streaming radio, but Ian does it really right. He does it with a show clock like a radio station, and he has live shows that are internet only that like do it over his network with a show clock. Like ads come up at a certain time and he has liberty based ads in there and he does it really right. So we were on there for 2 years or for a year. We were podcast only for a year. Then we were on LRN for a year and podcast. And then Ian helped us get on Genesis Communications Network, which is their radio syndication network. It's also Alex Jones's network and a bunch of other stations, a bunch of other shows. But Free Talk Live actually has more. They're actually on Alex Jones is more popular on the internet, but Free Talk Live is on more stations than Alex Jones. You know, Free Talk Live is the top syndicated station show on the network GCN. So he helped get us on there. And they're kind of like the equivalent of an independent record label. Like they don't pay you cash, but they pay you like you get ad space and then you can sell your ad space. Like other networks, bigger ones that syndicate people like Hannity and stuff, like they pay those guys a salary and they pay them really well. But those guys don't have to go out and get stations and get ads. On GCN, you know, they pay for the satellite time. They pay for, you know, having the board out there. They have the cachet of the name and you can call up stations and get on if you're good. But you have to get your own stations and you have to get your own advertisers. So we've been on there about a year and a half on radio and we're on 34 stations, which is a lot. Like for one, you know, it's basically one person now that Nima's quit doing all the work. I have a bunch of co-hosts, but they just talk. I do all the business stuff, calling the stations, getting any advertisers we have. And we basically, like, I've kind of given up on getting advertisers because it's so much work that I don't have time to do a good show and do it. And also to do advertising, you kind of have to advertise things that you probably wouldn't use because we have a really narrow group of like what kind of advertisers we can get, because first of all, we're a wing, you know, to most of the world, we're a wing nutty, you know, gun nutty. It should be okay to smoke weed show. And like, I don't smoke weed, but you know, like that's how the world would look at us. Cause we talk about rights in everything. Yeah. And so most advertisers would not buy ads from us, you know? So that's like 95% of the world is cut out right there of people that have money for ads. And then of what's left, we cannot go after any of the advertisers that advertise with GCN network wide. So, you know, that's all like all of the prepper and body armor people that would advertise with us that we would want to advertise with them or have them advertise with us. Like they're already advertising with GCN, so we can't poach them. And then Free Talk Live has kind of sewed up the remainder of what's available that we would want as advertisers. And, you know, it's not that I can't go after their advertisers, but it would be kind of crude. They've done so much for me. I'm not going to do that. So basically what we're doing now is we're giving away our ad time to people like antiwar.com and Free Ross and the Campaign for a Longer Leash and things like that. And accepting donations, and the donations are like barely covering expenses. I mean, like I get like $75 a month in donations, and that I don't even know if that covers expenses. I haven't figured it out yet because the expenses change so often and everything's in flux. But I've kept this ship up for going on for 3.5 years now, and a year and a half of that on radio. And you asked about the Anarchy Gumbo. That was a podcast that I did that is actually retired. It's at kittyfeet.com, like the feet of a cat, kittyfeet.com. And there's a lot of episodes up there. It was basically like I wanted to do stuff at night and Nima couldn't because he was married and had a day job, you know, because I'm up late at night and I wanted to do stuff with different people. It's kind of every episode is me with another person, and it's not really interviewee. Like I don't really interview people when I interview them. I have conversations with them, but some of that kind of led to the Freedom Fiends being myself and a bunch of rotating different co-hosts. When Nima left to go make babies, I was already in place to do it. And I also have a podcast, Michael Dean After Dark, which was a radio show. It's at michaelwdean.com. And that kind of morphed into the nighttime Freedom Fiends show. The Freedom Fiends are a unique radio show in a couple ways. As far as we know, we are the only, and I've asked the the editor, Michael Harrison, the editor of Talkers Magazine, which is kind of like the industry magazine for talk radio. And I write for that magazine, a tech column. I've asked him if there's any other radio shows, and he would know that have these two criteria. And he said, no, as far as he knows, we're the only ones in the country. We're the only one in the country that has one main host and a lot of different hosts. You know, not a lot of different guests with one host, but a lot, but one host with a bunch of different co-hosts, that rotate, that are all in different physical locations. He said, we're the only one he knows of that. And we're also the only one that's swing shift. We are daytime on the weekends live and nighttime during the week live. And the reason that came up that way was when we got on radio, of the available slots that, that GCN had, you know, one was the weekend show that we got. And then they also had the nighttime 7 days a week available if we wanted it, but NEMA couldn't do it. And I was kind of frustrated with that. I'm like, ugh, you know, I'm like married to this one guy and have to do what he wants to do when I want to expand. But, you know, he quit. And then I immediately had people to jump in from these other podcasts I was doing, And, you know, it instantly transitioned from 2 days a week to 7 days a week, with NEMA leaving with no blip at all. Like it just went over like a changeover in a movie.
Well, I mean, you guys are doing great work, and it's interesting to see all the different, I guess you have what that makes like four different podcasts or radio shows at least that have kind of morphed, like you said, into one.
Yeah.
Right now, that's the Freedom Fiends, and it's good. I think you kind of took the best parts of each one and
yep.
Merge them together. So that's great. I don't know if you guys talked about this on the Fiends recently, but well, I know you talked about the Silk Road 2 going down, but have you guys ever talked about Open Bazaar? I kind of talked about that before I came on with you. I recorded a little bit. There's this site called Open Bazaar. Yeah. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah. I heard of it the other day because Ian Freeman was trying to set it up and had a technical question about his router and posted that on Facebook. And I saw it and I'm like, I steered him to a guy who knows his router, who helped me. I have the same router. And then I looked up Open Bazaar. It kind of sounds like a program to do Silk Road, not necessarily with illegal items, but with any item in a distributed fashion.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, it is. It's kind of like a decentralized Silk Road. You know, there's really nobody to go after. It's kind of like Bitcoin. Like, who can you arrest when you shut down Bitcoin or whatever they say? Like, there's no one, you can't do it because there's no one to really go after, no figurehead. So I think it's got some potential.
I always like anything distributed instead of centralized. I mean, even my show having all these different co-hosts, you know, it was centralized when it was just Neiman and I, and it had to be Neiman and I. And then, you know, he didn't leave immediately. When he had his kid, he took 2 months of Sundays off and only did Saturday shows. That's when we were 2 days a week. And I kind of started to immediately centralize it. You know, they say that the internet routes around censorship and considers it damage. And that's true, the way that the protocol of the internet works, TCP/IP. And I kind of did the same thing with the show. I looked at NEMA not being available as damage to the Fiends network and strengthened it by adding more resources of more hosts. And now, like, there could be Fiends without me. Like, if I were droned or shot or killed or imprisoned or threatened into, you know, well, if I was threatened by the government to not do the show, I'd still do the show. That's like the one thing, my line in the sand, I would go to jail for, but is free speech. But yeah, as soon as NEMA started being flaky because he was you know, busy with family stuff, and who knows if, like, you know, the wife was, you know, like, whenever someone's married and they suddenly can't do stuff with me, I always think, like, are you really making this decision? There's actually another Fiends host that wrote me today and said, and I'm not saying, you know, anything bad about his wife, I'm just saying, like, in my life I've had a lot of situations, like going back to being in rock bands 25 years ago, where, like, you know, there's a rule that I used to have of, if you're in a band and you're auditioning a member and a guy comes to try out for your band and he brings his girlfriend, he's automatically disqualified, you know, or if a girl shows up to be in the band and brings her boyfriend, although that's a little more understandable because it's a girl going to a weird, you know, windowless location. Yeah. But yeah, if a guy brings his girlfriend to a band audition, I'd instantly say, like, sorry, man, we filled it, and just send him home. Because, you know, even if it's something like they share a car or something. It's like you just know that it's going to be trouble if they bring their girlfriend. And I actually had a guy who's getting married soon, who's a Fiends co-host, like write me today, who was totally committed to the show. And like, I bought him gear and I've helped him out and he's a good friend in person. And he wrote me today out of the blue and he's like, I'm gonna have to like not do the show anymore for an indefinite period of time. And like, I'm like, that's interesting. The guy who's about to get married, but you know, I don't know. Fortunately, I have a wife that's very supportive and very wonderful and like never, ever like makes me put the stuff I'm doing her before the stuff I'm doing. Like literally, like we're such a partnership. And she's part of the show. She does the liners and, you know, gives me advice on things I write before I don't always take it, but sometimes I do. You know, like on our anniversary, it's completely appropriate for me to be doing two interviews and a radio show and not have time to take her out to dinner. She's fine with that because our relationship is such that it's kind of like every day's our anniversary, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're lucky to have her, I guess. I mean, that's good that she understands that. And I'm sure that you know, like you said, every day is like your anniversary. So you guys,
I'm lucky. Well, yeah. I'm lucky, but I'm also smart because I didn't get married until I was 43.
Yeah. I mean, that does seem pretty smart. I mean, there's lots of people around my age. I'm 28. Lots of people my age and younger that get married kind of wonder how long it'll last, but we'll see.
Well, I actually look in my local paper often, at like the community, like there's a page that lists everything like arrests, divorces, marriages, deaths, births. And, every week I look at all of that, you know, cause I want to see, especially what the cops are doing in my town. But, the divorces are always almost as many as the marriages. I mean, there are generally like 8 or 9 divorces a week in my town of 56,000 people. And there are generally like a few more marriages than that. Like, you know, 8 or 9 divorces and like 9 or 10 or 11 marriages. So man, that's not good odds. And a lot of that's people getting married too young.
Sounds like we need the government to fudge the numbers like they do with unemployment, you know, or inflation. You know, we can kind of like tease it out like inflation. You know what? I got a project. I know it's still early in the morning for you, but I think we should work on this, or maybe
I
should work on it.
I'm awake now.
You know, I was talking on Facebook yesterday with some people about Veterans Day, and I asked like, what are the troops protecting us from, and like, who do they serve? I think they serve like the political class and the voters, but you know, the status always like message me or reply with the same things. It's like the robots. Like they say, well, if you don't like it here, move to China or move to Somalia, or you know, if you don't like it, leave, or if you don't vote, don't complain. Why do all the statists like say the same 4 or 5 things? Like, can we at least give them some new material to make it interesting, or what should we do about this?
Good point, man. Well, Bill Buepert, who is one of the Freedom Fiends co-hosts and probably the most eloquent and knowledgeable and well-read Freedom Fiends co-host and like really knowledgeable of history going back thousands of years, but especially, you know, the past 1,000 years, and he is a retired army officer and he's very anti-war and anti, you know, military industrial complex. So he's a really smart guy to speak to that kind of thing. And he and I came up with one last night that we could give the status, but they're not smart enough to get it. If you don't like the government, move to Zomia. Do you know what Zomia is?
No, I guess I don't get, it either. So what?
I had to look it up when he said it the first time to me a year ago. Look it up. Zomia is a government-free zone that covers part of 4 or 5 nations in the Middle East.
Oh, that sounds safe.
Yeah, it's not. Right? But a lot of people would rather live there than anywhere, you know?
So. Yeah, I mean, I wish Somalia would. It would be great if Somalia became like viable and like industrialized. I would definitely move there if there was like actually no government.
Well, but there's industry in Somalia. I mean, people who say that don't really know what Somalia is. Somalia is, I mean, it's probably considered a third world nation, although the designations of first world, second world, and third world aren't really accurate anymore. And actually what that originally meant, it didn't mean rich, less rich, and poor. It meant first world nations were capitalist nations, second world nations were communist nations, and third world were none of the above. And those tended to be the brokest of the broke back in the day, like 70 years ago. But and those designations now have nothing to do with capitalism or nothing to do with communism in general, but they're really not even accurate anymore because of globalization and the, you know, the increase in communications and shipping. Somalia has industry, and it, I mean, I think a lot of people picture Somalia as a bunch of people living in huts made out of mud. No, Somalia has cities with buildings made out of brick that have electricity and have, you know, telephones and probably a little, and some internet. You know, it's not people sitting around in ditches pushing berries up their nose. It's a civilization. And
I mean, I kind of want to just move there just for the irony to be like, well, I moved to Somalia. Like, now what do you got to say? And it's like, well, I don't know.
The thing is, Somalia has government, and it's actually a bunch of competing warlords backed by and funded by the U.S. government and the British government. So
of course,
not a libertarian paradise, and it's very, it has government, and it's a really ugly form of government backed by the two big powers.
It should be a lib pair. That would be a great place for lib pair, man. I wonder how the climate is. I'm gonna have to look up, like, and the thing that with Somalia,
what's the climate like? A cold day in Somalia is probably a one, you know, it's worse than Phoenix, put it that way, and it's colder in the winter and in night.
Probably sounds good to you right now, though, with it being -2 and it's going to be cold here. Man, the only problem with Somalia, though, is like the state is telling me there's no roads because without the government, like, you couldn't have roads. I don't know. Well, I don't know, but hey. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was gonna answer your question more about, you know, giving the state, how do the status come up with these same four or five things over and over again? They're taught in public school. I mean, literally. And it's not even like a top-down directive probably from the government. It's more like systems tend to reinforce systems, and a government school tends to reinforce the government ideology. And it's a conflict of interest, clearly. But my friend Nick Hazelton, you know, who's 15, you interviewed him. He's in a charter school, which is a public school. And I have a few other friends that, you know, like, Nima Vidati's brother is 21. Like, he just got out of school a couple years ago. And like all these people I talk to that just got out of school. Yeah. They teach you in school who would build the roads, move to Somalia without the government. There'd be blood in the streets and a couple others, you know? So yeah, though, that's where it comes from, to answer your question. And if you want to make up some new ones to give them, I would start with, if you don't like the government, move to Zomia. Here's the thing: you touched on the troops and the government and the flag troops and the flags and the flag troops and all that stuff. But I have a suggestion for anybody trying to win hearts and minds to liberty. I dig macho libertarian flash, which is a term from the 70s. It was actually libertarian macho flash, which is, you know, instead of talking reasonably and saying we need to decriminalize drugs, you know, like the old libertarian party kind of like wearing a tie, kind of trying to be politic with people. I always go for like the most extreme. Like, I'm like, you know, when somebody says, I think we should decriminalize marijuana and, you know, and use some of the money we use for the drug war for treatment instead for hard drugs or something like that. I'm like, no, I think we should have heroin and crack and, you know, heroin and coke and speed freely available in vending machines, as long as those vending machines are privately owned and operated. And I'm not just being cocky. I literally believe that. I don't think it would be a good idea. But I don't think there should be a law against it. And if there were no law against it, it would exist, because there's definitely a market for those drugs. So I do believe that there should be drugs in vending machines with no regulation. However, that's macho libertarian flash, and it's not harmful. But I think there's a thing these days, you know, from people like the Cantwell school that have the Chris Cantwell school that have invaded that, of like, and it comes from like trying to say the most outrageous thing possible to get a lot of hits on your website. And that guy's kind of dwindling. Like, he was getting a lot of hits on his website a year ago, but his rankings are all down and he's scrambling for money and begging hard for money. And like, his 15 minutes are up, you know? So that doesn't work as a strategy to get popular and make money. And it doesn't work as a strategy to change the world, especially if it's things that are mean. Like, there's nothing mean about saying, you know, you should be able to buy drugs in vending machines. But there's something mean about sharing memes that say things like, the troops are fucking welfare whores. That's one I've seen going around. I'll never share that one or never click like on it. Even if it's true, I mean, they are, you know, being paid. It's government welfare in the same sense that, you know, working for Congress as anything is, and probably more so because you're carrying a gun and doing acts of violence on command. And the same thing with the police. Like, even like, I'm less kind to police than I am to the military. The thing is, there's so many people who have so much wrapped up in their families being in the military. My stepson's in the military. It doesn't change how I feel about it, but a lot of people, it does change how they feel about the military. And you're not going to win hearts and minds by saying the troops are a bunch of fucking welfare queens, by being mean. You're going to piss people off and you're going to make liberty look unpalatable. And the tack I kind of take with trying to win hearts and minds is more like what I learned in AA, which is, you know, if you're a sober alcoholic and you have some time sober, part of the way you stay sober is you go out and you help still drinking alcoholics get sober if they want to get sober. And, you know, anybody who says they love the military because it protects their freedoms, they're saying they want freedom, you know? So if you can win their hearts and minds to really understand freedom, you know, you're not going to do it by saying that their kids are a bunch of fucking welfare queens. It's kind of, that tack is kind of like, it's kind of like the Westboro Baptist Church, you know, who like show up at military funerals and funerals of other people, you know, and like ruin somebody's funeral, which should be like, I don't know if a sacred moment, but a moment you should just leave them the fuck alone to do what they want. And I also think that in a libertarian paradise, there'd be no problem because funerals, I don't even know why it is a problem, because funerals are on private property, like literally, you know, a burial place of any kind is usually private property and they could kick anybody off. But I guess those people line up at the entrances too and just make hell. So you don't want to be the kind of libertarian that resembles the Westboro Baptist Church. You know, you want to be more like, I try to be more like the, you know, like my first sponsor in LA. He was a biker. He was an ex-biker. He'd been sober for 20 years, but he had cats and he played rock and roll. And more importantly, and he had like a pretty girlfriend and he had like a job. And that was all I wanted when I got sober. And more than that, like he had the ability to compassionately, but with tough love, like, you know, not in a pussy way, like compassionately, but tough, transmit the ideas of, you know, sobriety to me. And I think the same thing is a really good tack with transmitting liberty. Like, you don't want to be like the Westboro Baptist Church, which is what Chris Cantwell and people like that who emulate him come off as. And anybody who shares a meme and laughs at a meme that says the troops are a bunch of fucking welfare queens. You know, I think it makes a lot more sense and you'll win a lot more hearts and minds to be tough, but not crass. There you go.
Makes sense. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I can kind of see both sides of that one, but I guess we'll just kind of let that one sit there. Before you go, I know we're pushing up here against a little bit of time that we spoke about. Can you give us the latest on the Fiend phone? Because that's something that I'd be interested in, and I think a lot of other people, I'm interested in just using it, but can you tell us about the latest status or what's going on with the Fiend phone here?
The latest status is we tried to raise $20,000 for Fiend phone, which is basically a replacement for Skype for podcasters and radio people to be able to do a direct peer-to-peer connection that'll sound better than Skype, which is not peer-to-peer. It's through Skype servers. And it'll sound better and won't drop out and won't have the problems we're having with Skype, hopefully, than Skype. It's basically going to be like free open source Skype-type VoIP, voice over IP utility for podcasters and radio folk. Derek Slopey is the programmer. We tried to raise $20,000 on Indiegogo. We raised about $1,100. I gave it all to him. I didn't take a cut of it at all. And, he's going to try to make a stripped down version of it by January. So, you know, he's got about 7 weeks more to work on it and have something to show to where we can have a proof of concept and people can try it out. And then we're going to do another fundraiser to try to raise some more of the $20,000 we didn't raise and the $19,000 we didn't raise, to get him to be able to put in all the bells and whistles we want. Or, you know, maybe we'll just open source it at that point. And people ask me, I mean, open source it to like other programmers come in and help build this. But, and people ask me why we didn't do that. It's because, I had a definite idea because I'm a control freak in the sense that I know exactly what this thing needs to do. And if we brought a bunch of people in from the beginning, they would try to make it do more than they want to do because most programmers are not podcasters. And there are a lot of voice over IP, you know, VoIP utilities out there, but they're mostly directed at gamers. And the criteria for gamers are different than the criteria for podcasters and radio people. Because for gamers, you need to be able to have, you know, 40 or 50 or 100 people all in one channel, which we don't need for radio. You need to be able to have some kind of sound, some kind of noise suppression built in, like Skype has, and, you know, Blink and TeamSpeak and all those have. You absolutely don't need that for what we're doing, because we're making this for people to use in a good room with a good microphone without background noise. Gaming stuff is made to use for anything from a good microphone down to, like, you know, a cheap headset, or even just the mic built into your laptop with no headphones. So the criteria are very different. And the stuff, the noise suppression that makes all those other ones like Skype and the ones for gamers that I mentioned work, is that it does have noise suppression, so it can work with any microphone and sound okay, but it'll never sound great because that noise suppression, all, and the fact that Skype, like, is dealing with millions of people at once over their networks, so they have to kind of load balance. And what we're doing is something that's going to be point to point from one computer to another, like where you enter the other person's IP address and a password. And you won't have to limit your internet capacity. So it'll have, it'll basically be like stripped down VoIP without the noise suppression and without the changing on the fly bandwidth. And there are utilities out there that do that, and I've used them and they sound fucking stellar. But they cost like $400. So we're trying to make something free. So yeah, hopefully January.
All right. Well, thanks for the update. I mean, I was just kind of curious. Oh, one last thing I did want to ask you, and it was also like kind of a personal question, but I guess anyone can be in on it. I find, like, after the first few months, like, I started the podcast and the site maybe like, what, 4 months ago, you kind of get like a little bit of, like, I don't know if it's like fatigue, or you get like burned out a little bit. You ever go through that, like when you first started? Or I mean, you're doing this like every single day.
I go through,
like,
it every day. I call it postpartum depression. you know, a takeoff on postpartum depression, which is the depression women often get right after they give birth. It's kind of anticlimactic, and it's a common thing. It's a medical condition. I call the kind of like you know, the kind of like, not depression, but the kind of like sadness. I don't know if sadness is the word, but kind of like, the thing you're describing that I get after I do a show and after I have the exhilaration of doing it and putting it up and sharing it. And then, like, between, and not the whole next day until the next show, but usually sometimes for like an hour after that, I get kind of like, meh. I call it postpartum depression, and it can lead to something called pod fading, which is a term I haven't, it's a term from around 2006, and it's not very common now, but I try to bring it back. Like, I've taught it to people like Free Talk Live, and they use it now when they talk about people using it, having this happen. Pod fading is, when people start doing a podcast and they're hitting it really hard. They're like, this is the greatest thing ever. I'm loving this. They're doing it, you know, once a week or twice a week or every day or whatever. And with time, they get burnout on it and it becomes less exciting, and there's less like reward and less of the newness of it that there was when they started, to where, you know, if they started doing like one a week, then they start doing one every 2 weeks, then they start doing one a month, and then they just stop doing it. I've had friends that did that. My friend Garrett, who's one of the Freedom Fiends co-hosts for a while, he did that, and he's another person that I helped get his podcast sounding good. He had something called the Disindoctrination Podcast a couple of years ago, and it was really good, and he got busy and stopped doing it. So that happens. I think the remedy to not do that is, first of all, go for quality, not quantity. You know, don't try to commit to doing one every week or every 5 days or whatever. Like, do one when you want to do it and make it great. Try to have fun with it. Also, of course, don't give your podcast ever a name like The Daily blah blah blah, or The Weekly blah blah blah, or After Dark. Like, nothing that's going to commit you to a time slot, especially because if you do ever You know, because like if it's called weekly, you may change to daily, or if it's called daily, you may have to change to weekly, and you don't want to call it like After Dark. I made this mistake with Michael Dean After Dark when that was a radio show, because I started calling stations and there were a couple stations that said, we like it, we would take it during the day, 12 hours delayed, but we can't because, you know, the show is called and every bumper you're saying and you're talking about that it's at night during the show. So don't limit yourself with things like that. That'll help you not pod fade. And, you know, I would just say have a good time all the time. I mean, do things that you want to do when you want to do them. Make each one great. That's the thing. I say make everything you do as great as you can. Like, do everything you do as if it's going to be the last thing, the only thing you'll ever be remembered for. I said that about 10 years ago, and it's really true, especially with the internet, because you never know what's going to take off. Like I have, for instance, on YouTube, I have about, oh, I don't know, I've probably made 100 videos on YouTube. Most of them have between, I don't know, 100 and 1,000 views, and maybe 10 of them have like over 5 or 10,000 views. And one of them has a third of a million views, has 330,000 views or something. And it's like the one that has the most views, like I took my time with it, but it was done really quickly, but I was careful with the sound. I was careful to edit it correctly. It's pretty short, but that's the same kind of care that I take for other videos that get like, you know, 100 views. So make everything as great as possible, because you never know what you're going to be remembered for. And sometimes, you know, people are remembered for only one episode or one thing or one picture they drew or one interview they gave. You know, you never know what's going to be the one that sticks around.
It's interesting. Interesting advice. I never really thought of pod. I mean, I did think of pod fading because Nick mentioned it in his last, either in his last post or in his last interview, whenever I interviewed him. But I never really thought of it that way.
He's not pod, as like, is he pod fading?
No, he said he's not.
Oh, good.
But he was like trying to like guard against it, I guess, because he didn't do one for a while. But it's interesting, like you say, you might be just remembered for one thing. So you got to kind of be on alert for that. So
yeah,
good stuff. Hey, thanks for the time. I know you're real busy, so I'm gonna let you get back to the fiends.
It's been an honor, and thank you for having me on, man. It's been good.
No problem. Yeah, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Cool, all man. Right.